Then the Paramahamsa Babaji said, "O great devotee, now I will answer your second question. Please listen with an attentive mind. The words, the creation of the individual soul, or the fashioning of the individual soul, are all manifested by the illusory potency, Maya. They are material words that describe inanimate material things. The three divisions of time are past, present, and future. These divisions refer to material time, time within the realm of the illusory potency, Maya. In the spiritual world, the present exists eternally. In the spiritual world, the past and future do not exist. Lord Krishna and the individual soul, spirit soul, exist in that eternal present. In this way, the eternal soul is eternal, and his original nature, which is his pure love for Lord Krishna, is also eternal. Talk of the individual soul being created or fashioned is a misconception, mistakenly imposing the time patterns of the inanimate material world on a spiritual entity. The atomic individual soul is spiritual and eternal. He existed before his entrance into the material world. Because in the spiritual world there is no past or future, whatever exists there exists in an eternal present. Therefore the soul and its nature are both eternal. They exist in that eternal presence. I am only describing this in words. Your understanding will depend on your own ability to understand the pure spiritual world. I can only give a hint here. In spiritual trance, you will be able to see all this directly. The logic and argument of this material world will not help you to understand it. Your ability to directly perceive the spiritual world beyond the realm of matter will depend upon how much you can loosen the shackles of material bondage. In the beginning, you will see your own pure spiritual form. By again and again chanting the spiritual and holy names of Lord Hari, you will come to understand the nature of the soul. By practicing Astanga Yoga or following the path of the impersonalists, you will not be able to see the pure spiritual nature. By directly serving Lord Krishna, you will be able to understand the eternal nature of the soul. Therefore, you should chant the holy names of Lord Hari always and with enthusiasm. Only by chanting the holy names of Hari will you make advancement in spiritual life. Again and again, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari for some days, you will eventually attain love for the holy name, a kind of love you have never known before. Accompanying that love will be direct perception of the spiritual world, of all the different activities of devotional service. Chanting the holy names of Lord Hari is the most important and the most quickly effective. In Krishnadas Kaviraj's delightful book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila 470-71, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Bhajanera Madhya Shrishta Nava Vidha Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dhare Mahashakti. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the nine prescribed methods are the best. For these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. Tara Madhya Sarva Shrishta Nama Samkirtan Niraparadha Nama Lai Paya Premadhan. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the ten kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. O great soul, if you now ask who is a Vaishnava, I will give this reply. A person who, without offense, chants the holy names of Lord Krishna is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnavas are again divided into three groups. 1. Kanishta, neophyte. 2. Madhyama, intermediate. And 3. Uttama, advanced. One who from time to time chants the holy names of Lord Krishna is a neophyte devotee. One who always chants the holy names of Krishna is an intermediate devotee. A person the sight of whose face causes others to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna is an advanced devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that one should not use any other criterion to determine who is a Vaishnava. Diving Diving into the nectar of these teachings, the saintly sannyasi began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Singing these holy names, he danced again and again. From that day forward, he found great pleasure in chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. Offering dandavat obeisances to his spiritual master's lotus feet, he said, O Master, be merciful to this fallen person. That ends chapter 2. So the soul is not created. He is always there. It means when Krishna is there, it means the soul is always there. This is the important point. The soul may manifest manifest here in this world or not be manifest in this world. But the soul itself is always eternally there. And that nature that the soul has to be Krishna's eternal servant, that is always there. So there's no beginning or end at this. So that's, yeah. So that is an important consideration. And therefore we do not belong here, because the eternal nature is to serve. Then he makes the point of all the different kinds of service. Then the nine processes, means there's so many items of devotional service, so the nine are the main. Then of these nine, then the chanting of the holy names is the most important. Then for understanding who is devotee and who is not, then those who are chanting, they are considered devotees. Those who are always chanting, they are considered intermediate devotees. And those who, by seeing them, we are chanting, then those are the uttama devotees. So Lord Chaitanya is saying no other system needs to be used. And by that, then we will nicely be able to appreciate Vaishnavas. Otherwise, then we will get out our microscope and then we will look at the faults of others and we will see them, you know, as very large. Everything under a microscope looks very big. So then we will see all these bad qualities and then we will decide that they are not devotees. So therefore we can deal harshly, we can be offensive, we can speak badly. But Lord Chaitanya is recommending that this is the system for understanding. So we should, if we will chant then without offense, try to chant, avoiding offense, then we will develop a love for the holy name. Right? So when we can always chant, that means the Madhyama platform. So we've come to this platform of Nishtha. We're fixed in devotional service. Then, when that is there, then we are humble, we are tolerant, we respect others, we're not expecting respect for ourselves. Right? This is the symptoms that we are, that if one wants to know how to always chant, this is the system. You follow these four things, then it is possible. And to do that, then we must naturally give up offenses. We must give up, you know, all these other attractions to the material world. Then we will find an attraction to the holy name, an attachment to the holy name will then grow. And then that love for the holy name will develop. And then the name, he will reveal all things. Himself, ourself, our relationship, the spiritual pastimes, all that will manifest. So that is. Any questions on this? Okay. Yes.
They said that we should see.
Say loudly.
They said that we should see all the Vaishnavas as higher. We should respect all the Vaishnavas. So I wonder why is it system introduced to see different levels of Vaishnavas? So one is like higher, one is less advanced.
Well, we need to, because one should always associate with those who are more advanced than ourselves. And the ideas then we will appreciate, because in that then there are, then if those who are junior, then we should be kind to it. Those who are equal, we should make friendship. And those who are above, then we should respect. So these aspects are there. Because seeing purely as higher in actual fact will only be done by the uttama. Right? The others will make distinction because of their conditioned nature. Conditioned nature means there's a beginning and end, there's good, there's bad. You know, duality is the distinction of conditioned nature. The material world means distinct. It means there must be these distinctions. So then one will engage those, then the intellect will be engaged. Intelligence means to discriminate. So one will engage the intelligence in these ways. But the point is one is supposed to be humble and tolerant. So one always thinks oneself is not very advanced, others are. So then this also gives us a way to see the good qualities of others. Right? Are they chanting occasionally? Yes, okay, then they're devotees. Like that. I mean, it was very simple. Like that. Then within that, we see, of course, because the Vaidhi sadhana is there, then we need to see how nicely they're following. You know, and then is that the kind of association that I will be inspired in? If so, then take advantage of the association. If not, then one respects from, you know, and but doesn't get too close. Like that. And then this way, then, one can appreciate what's good. You know, what is good, you take. What's not good, you leave. Right? Like there. That is the idea, is that one is not taking the whole thing. Right? And it's just taking what one needs. That's all. Anything else? Chapter 3. Naimitika dharma asampurna he misra o achirastai. The soul's temporary duties are imperfect, horrible, contaminated, and short-lived. Staying on a hill in Godruma Forest and looking to the north, the saintly sannyasis spent the whole day and 3 hours of the night in chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. Then the full moon rose and filled Navadvip Mandala with a wonderful splendor and beauty. The sannyasi placed his glance on Sri Mayapur, which was not very far away. The saintly sannyasi said, "Ah, now I can see the wonderful, blissful spiritual abode. The Ganga shore is splendid, garlanded with light from many great jeweled palaces, temples, and archways. In many places, tumultuous chanting of Lord Hari's holy names fills the sky. Hundreds of devotees playing veenas chant and dance like Narad Muni. In one place, Lord Shiva, the master of the demigods, manifests a white form. Playing a damburu drum, he chants, 'O Chaitanya, O maintainer of the universes, please be merciful to me.' Wildly dancing again and again, he finally falls to the ground. In another place, four-faced Brahma lectures on the Vedas to an assembly of sages. He quotes and then purely explains these words, Svetasvartara Upanishad 3.12. Mahan Prabhur Vai Purusha Satvasyaisha Pravartaka Su Nirmalam Imam Praptim Ishano Jyotir Avyaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with him is to be in contact with the indestructible Brahma Jyoti. In another place, Indra and the demigods jump and chant, Jaya Prabhu Gaurachandra Jaya Nityananda. Glory to Lord Gaurachandra, glory to Lord Nityananda. The birds on the branches chirp, Gaur Nitai, Chaitanya Nityananda. Everyone is intoxicated by drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's holy names. From the gardens in the four directions come sweet humming sounds. Intoxicated by drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's holy names, Prakriti Devi, the goddess of the material nature, fills every place with beauty and splendor. Ah, now I see that Sri Mayapur, what can I not see? What do I see now? Remembering his spiritual master, he said, O master, now I understand. It is by your mercy that I am able to see the spiritual Mayapur. From this day, I will stay in the association of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Now that I have seen the spiritual Mayapur, I will wear tulsi beads, tilak, and the writing of the holy names. This I will do. Saying this again and again, the sannyasi fell unconscious for a moment. After a moment, he became conscious again. However, he could no longer see the wonderful spiritual vision he saw before. Weeping again and again, the saintly sannyasi said, "I am very unfortunate. By my spiritual master's mercy, I was able for a moment to see the holy abode of Sri Navadvip." The next day, the saintly sannyasi threw his ekadanda in the water, placed tulsi beads around his neck, wore Vaishnav tilak on his forehead, chanted Hari Hari, and danced. Seeing his wonderful new garments and demeanor, and remarking how fortunate he had become, the residents of Godruma offered dandavat obeisances to him. Embarrassed, the saintly sannyasi said, "It is by the Vaishnava's mercy that I am now dressed like a Vaishnava. However, there is still a danger for me. Again and again I heard from my spiritual master's mouth these words, Sri Shikshastaka 3, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 20:21. Trinad api sunichena, toror api sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord." Then he remembered his Vaishnav spiritual master. He thought, "I should offer my obeisances to him." Again and again, thinking in this way, he approached the Paramahamsa Babaji and offered dandavat obeisances to him. Sitting in his cottage of Madhavi vines, the saintly Babaji was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari again and again. Seeing that the saintly sannyasi had completely changed his garments and was chanting the holy names with spiritual love, the Babaji again and again bathed his disciple with the tears flowing from his eyes. Embracing him, the Babaji said, "O Vaishnav Das, by today, touching your perfect auspicious body, my life is now a great success." When he heard these words, the saintly sannyasi at once threw far away his previous name. Now he accepted the name Vaishnav Das. From that day on, the saintly sannyasi began a new life. He threw far away his Mayavadi sannyasi garments, an arrogant sannyasi name. In the afternoon, many residents of Sri Pajumna Kunj, Sri Godruma, and Sri Madhyam Dweep came to see the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. They all sat in a circle around the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. They all chanted the holy names of Lord Hari on tulsi beads. Some chanted, "O Gauranga Nityananda." Others chanted, "O Advaita, husband of Sita." And others chanted, "Glory to the son of Sachi." Chanting again and again, their eyes became filled with tears. All the Vaishnavas conversed about spiritual matters. All the assembled Vaishnavas circumambulated the tulsi plant and offered dandavat obeisances to the assembled Vaishnavas. Then Vaishnav Das circumambulated the tulsi plant, and then he rolled about in the dust that had touched the Vaishnava's feet. The saintly Vaishnava said, "This is not the same sannyasi. Now his form is wonderful." Rolling on the ground before the Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Das said, "Today I have attained the dust of the Vaishnava's feet. Now my life is a success. By my spiritual master's mercy, I have learnt the truth. Without the dust of the Vaishnava's feet, my future is not good. The dust of the Vaishnava's feet, the nectar water that has washed the Vaishnava's feet, and the nectar food touched by the Vaishnava's lips are the three medicines to cure the disease of repeated birth and death. They cure the disease of repeated birth and death. When he is cured of the disease of repeated birth and death, a person enjoys great pleasure. O Vaishnavas, formerly I was very proud of my great learning, but today there is no pride in my heart. I was born in a Brahmana family. I studied all the scriptures, and I entered the sannyas ashram. In this way, my pride reached its highest point. When I was first attracted to the Vaishnava religion, the seed of humbleness was planted in my heart. Gradually, by your mercy, I have thrown far away the pride I felt for my birth, learning, and sannyas. Now in my heart, I know that I am only a small soul, a soul without any shelter. Without taking shelter of the Vaishnava's feet, for me there is no hope. My status as a Brahmana, my learning, and my sannyas were actually making me degraded, leading me lower and lower. Therefore, I truly make this request at your feet. Please accept me as your servant. Hearing Vaishnav Dasa's humble words, the Vaishnava said, O best of the devotees, we are very eager to obtain the dust from the feet of Vaishnavas like Vaishnav Das. Please be merciful and make our lives successful by giving us the dust of your feet. You have obtained the mercy of a saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. Please give us your association and purify us. Devotional service is obtained by one who associates with devotees like yourself. This is confirmed by the following words of Brihan Naradiya Purana. Bhaktis tu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate Satsanga Prapyate Pumbhi Sukritaf Purva Sanchitai. Devotional service is attained by associating with devotees. The association of devotees is attained by past pious deeds. Therefore, it is because in the past we performed many devotional pious deeds that we have obtained your association. Because we have obtained your association, we may now hope to attain true devotional service. Saintly Vaishnav Das thus stayed among the devotees as they humbly offered obeisances to each other and conversed about devotional service. He looked splendid and glorious as in his hands he held new beads for chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. So then, so the point comes up is that by the grace of the devotees, then we are able to obtain to devotional service. So by the pious deeds, so here means devotional activities, then we are able to actually take advantage of the association of devotees. We get that association, we're able to take advantage. Then we can attain to devotional service. So here we see, means there's devotional service in this generic definition, which means just anything that is in connection with Krishna. And then there's devotional service being described as where it is actually focused and we have a proper taste and attachment to the chanting of the holy name. And we, you know, we have the proper, that purity, that humbleness, all these wonderful qualities are there. So that is coming by associating with devotees. And by that association, then we're able to obtain to that platform. So then we need, how do you say, we need to always try to be engaged in devotional service and always try to take advantage of the association of devotees. We cannot take it cheaply. Here we see the mood that is there in the Vaishnava community. So we should try to understand this mood and try to practice this mood. That is important. It means if we're trying ourselves to practice it, then we will find others who are practicing it. But if we are thinking, well, I will look around to find someone who is practicing it, then we may or may not find someone practicing it. This is the thing. If it's a matter of, when I find someone practicing it, then I will get that good association, then I will take things up seriously. But it's that we have heard this, we're experiencing this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description. So he's describing what is that mood. What is that relationship, that mentality that the devotees have? So in this mentality, we should try to take that and try to produce that in our life. Right? That's why these things are here. Means the association means is all so here we're associating with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the different examples that he has given. So this is association. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point that it's improper understanding if we are thinking that the Vaishnavas, you know, they leave. No, because they're here in their instructions. So by the instructions, then we are able to gain that association. So instruction is the most important thing. If we are following that instruction, then so we see it's all these things, that instruction, that mood that is there, all these things that are there. Not that it's just specifically something for us, like many times someone will come and say, give me some instruction or give some direction. But then so many things are there. You know, it has to be something, yes, okay, take your right foot, put it in front of you, don't put it behind, no, put it forward, okay, now you've done that, okay, now what's next? Okay, now take the left foot, bring it up equal to that, and the same distance you move the right foot forward, now move the left foot forward, past the right foot, okay, now, you know, okay, now what do I do, you know? So we have to be very, very careful. I mean, it's nice, but generally you find that this is just an idea how to get some association. We're not sure what association to take. So we just want to, just anything, you know, something, just something, you know. But, so that's okay, but we should try to take it further than that. What is the actual thing that we can take, apply in our life, so that we can gain this mood, so we can gain this understanding of the Vaishnava culture, the Vaishnava association? That is much more valuable. That we can gain close, we can gain from a distance, we can gain in so many different ways. That is more valuable. Like that. That is more valuable. But so, and that is for all of us. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made this, and we'll say, well, this is general for everybody. Yes, but we're also one of those everybodies. So then it's a specific instruction for us. Right? It's a personal instruction from the Acharya to us, if we take it. Right? Lord Chaitanya has said that we should preach these names to anyone and everyone. If we take it, then it's a personal instruction for us. We don't take it, yes, it's for everybody. Like that. So it depends upon how we take it. Then something becomes personal or not. Right? That is an important point. Right? And then that goes, cuts beyond the conditioned nature. That will establish us in devotional service. It's not that it sentimentally had to be exactly only for us. No one else could follow that instruction, right? Because no one else has, you know, the certain thing that we have. You know, only we have a blue bicycle with this on it. So yes, you should get on your blue bicycle and ride down, you know. No. It's even these that seem like general, they're specifically for us. If we take them, they touch our heart, then it's applied. And we benefit. Then we're in that association of advanced Vaishnavas. By that association, then we will get these results that Vaishnava Das got. Right? Because he took them, he behaved properly, he had faith, he practiced, he avoided offenses, and he got the result. Right? So this is, result is there for everybody. It's not just, okay, it's here in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, you know, nice book, yes, this and that. What about the reality? No, this is the reality. What we call, what about the reality, that's not reality. Today it's here. It's a calamity today. Tomorrow it's not there. The biggest calamity comes and goes. The nicest situation comes and goes. So we can't call those a reality. Because of our conditioning, then they're very real for us. But reality means that which is eternal. So this is eternal. This is reality. And if we take it, it works. We may say, well, what about this? What about that? I have so many... No, just do it. Right? The time is there. The opportunity is there. We just have to take it. And if we take it, then according to us, Krishna will take care, reveal to us how to apply, and it will work for us. Maybe slowly, maybe quickly, but it will work. Any questions? Or comments? That day a fortunate person came to that group of Vaishnavas. Since childhood, he was able to read and write the language of the Yavanas. He imitated the activities of the Mohammedan kings, and in their country, he counted himself as one amongst them. His home was in Shantipur. He was born in a Brahmana family. He associated with many wealthy men. For many days he enjoyed all worldly pleasures, but they did not make him happy. At the end he turned to religion and began chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. When he was a child he had studied ragas, knowledge in melodiously singing the holy names of Lord Hari. Gradually he became famous as a singer and musician in Vaishnava circles, and his sweet singing was in great demand. After some days he began to understand the pleasures that reside in the Lord's holy names. Eventually he came to Navadvip to sing the holy names with the Vaishnavas there. He stayed at a Vaishnava's ashram. Accompanied by this Vaishnava, he came to the cottage of Malati and Madhavi vines in the Prajumna Kunj. Hearing from Vaishnav Das of the Vaishnava's saintliness and humbleness, some doubts still remained in his mind. With boldness and eloquence, he placed the question before the assembled Vaishnavas. He asked, "In Manu Samhita and the other Dharma Shastras, it is said that the Brahmanas are the best caste. In those scriptures are described the Brahmanas' regular duties, which begin with chanting the Gayatri Mantra. If these are the regular duties of the best caste, then why are the duties of the Vaishnavas different?" The Vaishnavas did not reply. Afraid to dispute with this Brahmana logician, they gave no answer. After the asker of the question had sung the holy names of Lord Hari, the Vaishnavas finally said, "The saintly Paramahamsa Babaji will answer your question. His reply will make us happy." Hearing the order of the assembled Vaishnavas, the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji offered dandavat obeisances and said, "O saintly devotees, if you wish, then Sri Vaishnav Das, the best of devotees, will give the proper answer." Everyone was happy with this proposal. Hearing his spiritual master's words and reflecting on his own good fortune, Sri Vaishnava Das said, "I am very fallen and I do not possess anything of any value. Therefore it is not right that I speak very much in the assembly of the saintly and wise. However, the spiritual master's order should always be respectfully carried on one's head. I have drunk the nectar of the truth, nectar words that flowed from my spiritual master's mouth. Therefore, I will repeat what I can remember of his words. That I will do." After speaking these words, Vaishnava Das placed on all his limbs the dust from the feet of the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. Then, offering dandavat obeisances, Vaishnava Das spoke the following words: "The original form of the Supreme is the supremely blissful Supreme Person, Bhagavan. The impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of his transcendental body, and the all-pervading Supersoul is his expansion. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is the abode of all glory and all pastimes, taught this to us. The Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, which are supplements to the original Vedas, and which explain what should and should not be done, should be followed by the entire world. The religious activities of human beings are of two kinds. One, vaidhi, spiritual rules and regulations to be followed, and two, raganuga, spiritual activities to which one is naturally attracted and which one performs even without being impelled to do so by the rules of scripture. When he is under the control of the illusory potency maya, a human being must perform vaidhi spiritual activities. When he is freed from Maya's grip, the human being need not perform vaidhi spiritual activities. Then his spiritual activities are raganuga. Engagement in raganuga spiritual activities is the pure state of the individual spirit soul. A state that is naturally pure, spiritual, and free from matter. By Lord Krishna's wish, the pure spirit soul may become free from the grip of matter. However, that is not Lord Krishna's wish. However, from the day Lord Krishna does not wish that the individual soul be liberated, from that day the soul is thrust into the calamity that is life in the material world. When he is thrust into the calamity of material life, the soul cannot truthfully be liberated from the grip of matter. When he is truthfully liberated from the grip of matter, the soul naturally engages in ragatmika spiritual activities. The spiritual activities of the people of Raja are ragatmika. When the soul still resides in the calamity, that is the material world, these activities are raganuga. As long as he engages in raganuga spiritual activities, the soul in the material world is happy. As long as he does not engage in raganuga spiritual activities, the soul in the material world is attracted to the illusions of Maya. Attracted to Maya, the soul becomes bewildered. Then he is not attracted to pure spirit. It is I and it is mine are the two conceptions Maya thrusts upon the soul. When the soul thinks this material body is mine and I am this material body, in this condition, the soul loves persons who bring pleasure to his material body and hates persons who thwart the bringing of pleasure to his material body. Thus, the bewildered soul becomes a slave of love and hatred. The bewildered soul thinks others are either his friends or his enemies in three ways. Sharirika, in relation to material bodies. Samajika, in relation to society and social norms. And Naitika, in context of ideas. One who unlawfully desires gold and women will find himself a slave to pleasures and pain. That condition of life is called samsara, the world of repeated birth and death. One who is attached to the world of samsara is subjected to birth, death, karmic reactions, and a variety of living conditions, some high and some low. Thus the souls bound by material illusion wander here and there in the material worlds. However, the souls attracted to spirit do not experience these troubles. They who are attracted to spirit attain their eternal spiritual nature. They who forget they are by nature small particles of spirit fall down into the experience of material life. Staying in the material world, they suffer many misfortunes, although they think they do not suffer misfortunes at all. So then in these activities in the world, so he's pointing out that the discussion is on Manu and the Dharma Shastras. So then, to understand this, then the soul, when it's conditioned, then they must follow the Vaidhi sadhana. The rules and regulations of the scriptures need to be followed. Because by following those in a regulated way, then they control the conditioned nature. By controlling conditioned nature, then one is able to actually cross beyond it. One is able to purify it. One is able to conquer it. So when one has been freed from this grasp of illusion by Maya, then the Raganuga is able to happen. Because Raganuga means one likes to do it. So one may, for a moment, I like to do it. But then if the next moment he doesn't like to do it, it's not actually Raganuga. Maybe beginning stages, maybe something. It means naturally there's some attraction is there. Otherwise, why did we hear the devotees chant or took prasad? We liked it, we want to do again. So that's an element, that's an aspect of this natural spontaneous attraction. But it's not steady like that. So Raganuga means something that one is always doing. Just like Vaidhi, it's something one always does. One practices trying to always follow. That at all times one is performing the activities that one should be performing. One is not wasting time. You know, one wasting time or talking for jhana or doing so many things. So that must become steady. That's the meaning of nishtha, one is steady. So one is able to be steady in these things, then one is able to get the result. From that steadiness, then one becomes freed from these things. That is the point. Lord Chaitanya, after being steady in devotional service, then nadanam najanam nasundaring, then these things are able to be given up. But otherwise, unless that steadiness is obtained, these things are very difficult to give up. Then, with a taste for the holy name, then one is able to give up these lower tastes. Then that grip of maya is released. With that taste, then one actually understands these things, and that natural spontaneous attraction to the chanting of the holy name is taken up. So I think he'll go further on that later. So we should understand what this is. It means there's naturally there's things you want to do, like to do. We like to maybe chant or read or different. Everybody has something they like to do for Krishna, or maybe many activities. So that is good, but that doesn't mean that we give up the vaidhi until we're freed from the control of maya. So they both may be going on. Maybe in the beginning it's more we're just trying to establish ourselves in the rules. We don't even want to follow those. Then that becomes established, and naturally then the other starts to come. Because as we become purified, naturally then, because it's the nature of the soul to love Krishna, then these activities will then awaken in the heart. It's an automatic thing. If we're associating, if we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, associating with the devotees, you know, we can see these things are there. It naturally happens. One likes to do. Right? So then this will come. But it's not something that can be forced, because if one is not freed from the material energy, then simply being attracted, always remembering Krishna, is not enough, because one will not always be remembering Krishna. Then what is he doing about those moments when he's forgetting Krishna? Because the other rule is never forget. Right? So if one wants to avoid the vaidhi and just do raganuga, fine. As long as there is no moment when he's not doing raganuga. If there's any moment he's not performing raganuga activities, what's he going to fill it with? Right? So then, if it's filled with nothing, then what is? How do we call this raganuga? How do we call this attraction? It's not real mature attraction. If for one moment we're interested, and then the next moment we're not, then it may be seen as a little selfish. We like to do it when we want to do it, and then at other times we don't want to do it. We will not take this kind of relationship very seriously. Someone comes to you, oh, you're so nice, this, that, I like you, I miss you so much, this, that, and you know, and then when they've gotten what they want, then they go away. We can't consider this a serious relationship. You know, maybe very pleasant for a few moments, you know, nice talk, but after that, then it won't be. Someone who all the time has a proper mood or a proper relationship, no matter what the situation, that you can call is steady. Right? That's got some substance there. Otherwise, the other, it's nice, okay, they're nice people, but they're only nice people at some time. And then other times they're not. So we have to see that is it for Krishna's pleasure? Or is it just because we like to? Okay, just because we like to, okay, that's a beginning. But ultimately it has to be because Krishna likes it. Right? So it has to be steady. So those moments that we're not absorbed like that, then what are we going to do with it? Right? So therefore, better fill it with vaidhi. Right? Better fill it with vaidhi sadhana. Then, maybe a few moments here and there where we're doing something spontaneously, but in between, to keep us from falling into maya, then the vaidhi is there. And then that will ensure that those moments then are purified and steady, and slowly those moments will be replaced also by the raganuga. So it's a very natural thing. It does not have to be forced. Right? Just like a child, you can't force them to grow up. You know, feed them more. I remember some boys in the Gurukul, they had this thing that they used to get bricks and they'd tie them onto their feet. Then they would climb up onto their beds and then hang from the rafters, right, for some time. And they thought that by hanging from the rafters with the bricks on their feet, it would pull them and make them taller. Like that. They were very worried to get tall. So, you know, one can try these things. They're very nice, good sentiment, you know. But in reality, you know, I don't think that they necessarily work like that. So, So therefore, the whole thing is very natural. We saw the Babaji Maharaj, he was telling the sannyasi, he said, oh, I should give up all these things. He said, no, it should come, it's a natural thing. When it comes naturally, then it's done. Right? These progressions are natural. So in the association of devotees, by studying, hearing from the scriptures, like that, performing devotional service, and that, understandings will come. Like that. So we know what's there. It's not that Raganuga sadhana is not there, but it's also Vaidhi sadhana is there. And we have to know what our position is. So if we're conditioned, Vaidhi sadhana is important. And as we conditioning becomes purified, then the spontaneous will come. The spontaneous is not a force. If it's like, you have to do this Raganuga, then that itself is a rule. Therefore, it's Vaidhi. We may call it Raganuga. Oh, you must read all these special books. You must do this. You must not do that. That's Vaidhi. Because you must do. Raganuga is, you do it whether it's a rule or not. You like it. Whether you're supposed to chant Hare Krishna or not chant Hare Krishna, you like chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Whether you're supposed to take prasad or not supposed to take prasad, like that, you like taking prasad. You know, you don't want to eat things that aren't offered to Krishna. Right? You're not doing it just because it's a rule. You don't like it. Right? You don't like sitting around doing nothing or talking prajapa. You like chanting. Or you like reading. Or you like going to the temple and seeing the deity. Or like doing the service. So that is there. That's happens. It's not a force. It's not an intellectual, like Prabhupada says, it's not an intellectual adjustment. It's a natural thing. So these things are there. So then, this is the point. So then, without those, that is what will take, the Raganuga activities, that will take one out of this material world. Right? That is the attraction to Krishna. That's the always remember Krishna. Right? That's the taste that is there. So that's that attraction that will pull one. Well, the Vaidhi in that is what will take out the anchor, what will dissolve the illusion. Right? You can't be attracted to something if you're also stuck with something else. Right? We can't say, I will be looking at Krishna at the same time I'm looking away from Krishna, it's the material world. It's like one or the other. Or one may be in the middle and seeing both. So that means both are going on. Raganuga and Vaidhi. Right? But So that is there. So now, here it says that the living entity will be attracted to Maya, and this is then seen by these two concepts, I and mine. So these are very important. Here it mentions that this body is mine, and I am this material body. So these stem from the point of the concept of I means the concept that I am God. Right, I am Brahman, I am God, like this, so therefore I am the enjoyer. And mine, then, is the activities to, everything that we see is mine, whatever we want to enjoy, then we try to take. So the karmis, they're, you know, more focus on mine, and the jnanis focus more on I. So these two, karma and jnana, then are the manifestations of the activities of someone who thinks I and mine, like that. So they are connected. Okay. So we must understand that this body is not mine, it belongs to Krishna, therefore it must be used according to Krishna's desire. Right? Means one is the Vaidhi is okay. One shouldn't overeat. One should, you know, do so many things with the body. And by doing that, one establishes oneself in goodness. And from there, then, hopefully we'll understand that these are Krishna's services. This is service to Krishna. And like that. But eventually, as that develops, then we will understand that this pleases Krishna. Right? This body is Krishna, so it should be used how Krishna wants. So this body only needs so much to eat, so I only eat that much. I don't eat more, because I want to enjoy. No, because this is what the body needs. I only eat this much. The body needs to sleep this much. That much we do. You know, these different things. So the body's engaged like that because it's not ours. It's Krishna's. Right? And I'm not this body. You know, so this is not what pleases the senses, is not what pleases me. I am separate. I'm a servant of Krishna. And I have this body, it's one of the possessions. Like, you know, we may have a piece of cloth, or we may have a bag, or we have some shoes, so we also have a body. So just as we take care of these other things and use them, so we take care of the body. But its purpose is for something else. We use our shoes for, you know, walking or this, our bag for putting things in, you know, our clothes, dressing, all of these things. So we use the body just for the service. Then it comes nice. Then we see that. So these are very fundamental principles like that by understanding them, then they take us more and more deep into the devotional process. He also then here is making difference between the rag anuga, means following the footsteps of rag, and rag atmika means once one is comes to the completely transcendental platform. He mentioned that, I think, of pure love. Spiritual activities, the people of Braja are ragatmika. And when we are within this material world, then that's raganuga. He also gives, since we think we're this body, and this body is mine, and this develops this love and hatred. So that's based on what's good for the body, since the body is the central thing. It's nice for the body, we like it. We like those people or like that. And if not, so we hate. So here is three kinds of ways that we decide whether someone's friend or enemy. One is sharirika, in relation to the material body. So that's obvious. It's good for the body, then they're friends. Not good for the body, they're enemies. Two, samajika. In relation to society and social groups, you know, I like this social group, they give like that, or I don't like this. You know, one person does something we don't like, then the whole group we don't like. Someone does we like, and we like the whole group. And three, naitika, the context of ideas. So those who are, you know, into saving the great whale we like, and those who are not, then we don't like. You know, you have some idea, some philosophy, you know, you're into this philosophy, we like you, you're not into this, we don't like you. So these we have to be very careful of these, that it's because these are all based on, you know, the gross and subtle body. Yeah. And then the point here, yeah, one who is interested in dhanam, janam, and sundarim, then there's always a problem. So those who are attracted to the spiritual world, they don't have any difficulties. And those who aren't, they do. Any questions on this part?
Yeah. I was just wondering, you were explaining so many different things, technical explanations of dealings and of the different levels of devotees, of the different levels of advancement. So, is it actually possible for one to actually have the control over all those different things and be able to somehow or another progress, or is it just more of being aware that those different things are there and being more convinced that they're actually a way of becoming fully engaged in the Bhoshana service by taking shelter of instructions of spiritual master, and like that.
Well, control, we'll never have control. It's Krishna who's in control. As you mentioned, when Krishna, you know, is not, how is that? By Lord Krishna's wish, the pure spirit soul may become free from the grip of matter. And if it's not his wish, then he's not. So when the living entity is desiring to enjoy the material world, then Krishna doesn't free him. So it's Krishna that can free. He's called Mukunda. So we can't do. But we can desire to do that. Then it becomes, then Krishna, then, and we pray to Krishna, then when it becomes his desire, then we're able to be freed. The point is as long as we want, then he doesn't want to free us, because the whole idea of the marginal potency is that they are loving him out of free will. That is what is giving him pleasure. Right? So if they're not doing out of free will, they're forced, then what is that real meaning of love? Right? The internal potency will do that automatically, because that's their nature. Right? But we're a different energy. We can either be under the spiritual or under the material. So we have to make the choice. So that itself, when we make the choice to please Krishna, that gives a pleasure. The other one they're already doing. So to add to that, then there's the jiva, right? Which then chooses to love Krishna. So that adds to the flavor that is already going on with the internal potency, who naturally only loves Krishna. There's no way that they won't. Right? So that gives one kind of pleasure. And this then adds to that pleasure. Right? So its nature is different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so basically, when we desire liberation is that we developing relationship with Krishna, because we are feeling very uncomfortable in the material world. So that's why it's not so much the love for Krishna is not love for Krishna, but it's just a relationship based on the based experience the living entity has in the material world, so he wants to get out of it. So it's not really free will. We don't love Krishna out of free will.
No, that's the beginning. That's why I said so many four kinds of pious people turn to Krishna, and they're considered neophyte, because it's still from their own purposes they're approaching the Lord. But as they become purified and they're in good association, then they give up those ideas. Mm-hmm. And then they do it because it pleases Krishna. Right? Krishna, you know, doesn't want to see us here, since we want to be here, therefore he leaves it that way. Because it's our desire, it becomes his desire. And when our desire is to get out, then that also then becomes his. Because actually his desire is that we're not here. Like that. So the beginning stage will be that, but that beginning stage shouldn't be maintained. See, we have to develop that maturity, that beginning stages of devotional service are okay, you know, that the conditioned soul is engaged in particular activities, you know, vaidhi sadhana, and they may have their own purposes for doing it, like that, that's okay. But one shouldn't remain there. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that, you understand? Just like it's okay that the small child is crying. Because that's the position they're in. But they shouldn't stay like that. You understand? You know, it's okay that the child is waking up the parents and keeping them up all night. Right? So then, because that's the way they are, that's their nature. But it shouldn't stay like that. You know, it's not that, you know, this is good and that's bad. No, this is good at a certain time. At another time, it's not good. As you mature, then it's not recommended. And something, a more advanced stage, it's good, but when you're ready for it, when you're at that stage. So it's not a matter of prestige, I am at this stage. No, it's what you're actually at. You know? It's, devotional service is not a matter of prestige. You know? I've been like we see Vishwamitra, he was always trying to just, you know, move up, which was better, until he understood that from Kshatriyas being a Brahmin was the best, and of Brahmins and being a Brahma Rishi was the best, right? Brahma Rishi means you're born as a son of Lord Brahma. So he's not born, but he had to become one because they're the best of all the Brahmas, of all the Brahmanas. So then he does all his austerities and makes so much trouble until the Brahma and all the Rishis come and say, okay, what do you want? He says, I want to be a Brahma Rishi. Brahma says, yes, you are a Brahma Rishi. No, I don't want to hear it from you. Vishishta has to say I'm a Brahma Rishi, right? Because he's envious of Vishishta that he's a Brahma Rishi, right? You know, what can Vishishta do? He was just born that way. You know? Not enough, right? Right? Vishishta has to say. So it's not a matter of that, you know. I have to be like this, and it's a matter of. No, it's a matter of this is our natural position and duty. We're supposed to do it. And so we're supposed to go through the stage until we get to that. And we have to see everything in relation to that. And the rules and regulations and the situations that we perform, we shouldn't become attached to them. The duties are done. Like Grihastha. They have these attachments, so they perform certain duties, you know, that are connected with those attachments. But they shouldn't be attached to those duties and those results of duties, right? They should identify these attachments are there. Therefore, the activities of those attachments must be performed. Okay? But you can't be attached to them. So that's the thing. Vaishnava has everything, but he's not attached to it. As soon as he's attached to it, he doesn't have those things, right? So it's not a matter of, well, if I'm attached, not attached, then I have them, but I don't use them. Okay, the if I want the eight mystic cities, it's very difficult to get. I become a devotee, I automatically have them, but as a devotee, I don't use them. So then, why bother, right? No, it's because Krishna wants us to you know, take up our natural position as his servant. Yeah? So it's for Krishna's pleasure we're doing it, not for our own, that we're going to get mystic cities and recognition, and, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha are there waiting to serve. No, these aren't the reasons. So that's the whole thing. When you don't want, then it's there. If you want, it's not there. It's just the way the material world works. So, since that's the way, or that's just the way energy works, so if we understand this, then we don't, why bother with here, right? You want the money, you can't get it. You don't want the money, it's there, right? You understand? That's just the way it works. That's the way the senses work. That's the way all these material relationships work. You want it, you can't get it. You don't want it, it's there, right? You know, so that's the way it is. So rather than do that, then you just serve Krishna. And then all these things may be there, maybe not there, who cares? So we just serve Krishna. We give up this trying to play with these things here. Right. So we have duties in our progress back to Godhead. And we perform those duties, but without the attachment. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Anything else? For the soul is bound by Maya, the activities of Ragatmika are far away, and the activities of Raganuga are not accepted. It is only by the mercy of a devotee of the Lord that the activities of Raganuga may rise within a conditioned soul's heart. The activities of Raganuga are rare and difficult to obtain. The residents of the material world have been cheated of them. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-knowing and full of mercy. He sees that the souls imprisoned by Maya have been cheated of their spiritual activities. How will these souls attain auspiciousness? By what means will the souls bewildered by Maya remember Lord Krishna? The answer is that by associating with saintly devotees, the soul is able to understand that he is in reality a servant of Lord Krishna. The rules of ordinary piety do not enjoin that one associate with saintly devotees. How then does one associate with devotees, or what makes one desire to associate with devotees? The association of devotees does not generally happen when one follows the path of rules and regulations, Vaidhi Marg. That is not the way one comes to associate with devotees. It is from the merciful glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the scriptures are created. Born from the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sun of the scriptures rises in the sky of the devotee's heart. In this way, the rules of piety are manifested.
Could you please read that again?
The association of devotees does not generally happen when one follows the paths of rules and regulations, Vaidhi Marg. That is not the way one comes to associate with devotees. It is from the merciful glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the scriptures are created. Born from the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sun of the scriptures rises in the sky of the devotee's heart. In this way, the rules of piety are manifested. So here also we must understand a slight difference in the definition. It's not a difference, it's just, how you say, a finer application. Because in the Vedic, one term can apply to many, many things, depending upon what you are looking at, the overall position or one's own position, then one may see it in slightly different ways. So here, it appears that this Vaidhi Marg that he's talking about means the following of the Vedas, like the Dharma Shastras. You know, so the Varnashram. So this is specific. So what he's meaning is by following Varnashram, it's not necessarily that you are going to take up devotional service. And by the following Varnashram, it's not telling that you associate with Vaishnavas. Like that. It's saying associate with, you know, properly behaved people, cultured people, and those who are uncultured you should give up. In other words, those who are pious you associate, those who are impious you give up. It doesn't specifically say that you should associate with Vaishnavas. It's there in a hidden way. Very little, it's mentioned, but it's not direct. By reading the scriptures, the normal person will not find this. So that is there. So within what we are given, the Lord Chaitanya has given us, is basically it's Raganuga. But within it, there are those aspects, there is these activities being followed from a spontaneous platform, and these activities being followed because we're supposed to follow them. So this is a slightly different platform. It's like from the second platform. Krishna says, first surrender, and if that is not getting result, then follow the rules and regulations. And then the third is then taking up Varnashram activities. So here they're discussing between the Varnashram and the purely devotional activities. So we see Rupa Goswami explains, when he's explaining Vaidhi Sadhana, he gives 64 different activities. And in these 64, then he says five remain: chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, and living in the holy Dham. So we see that one can see these as five activities of the 64, or we can see the 64 as limbs of these five. Right? Depending upon how you want to present it. If your main thing is Vaidhi, then it will be that these are Vaidhi, and then these activities are also there. They are important, essential items of the Vaidhi. Or you may take these five items. These are the activities of Raganuga Sadhana. Now, to ensure you're doing properly, we can take all these others and place them in these categories. You know, certain ones go with chanting, certain goes with associating with devotees, certain with living in the Dham, certain with worshipping the deity. So then we see that is basically how it's presented. And it's there, but it's also, the point is it's explained in the Nectar of Devotion that those, that Dasyam, right? You have Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedam. So Dasyam means that worshipping the Lord through following a Varnashram. That is, so you find that's very prominent. Like you find that those who are the Vaikuntha worshippers, Varnashram is an essential part of their sadhana. Because in Vaikuntha, then everything is rules and regulations. So therefore, and it's basically the same that's followed within Varnashram, is the difference is that they have love for the Lord or they don't. But otherwise, same thing. They're going to be there, they're going to be family members, they're going to be grihasthas, they're going to have husbands and wives and that. They're going to deal with each other properly, they're going to go and serve the Lord. You know, they're going to still dress in the same ways, and basically, it'll basically be the same form, like that. Of course, you don't have demons, you don't have people that don't follow properly. So therefore, most of, you know, the Dharma Shastra, you can just drop off, because you don't have to deal with people doing things wrong. So you don't have to either punish them, or correct them, or to avoid them, keep them from doing something wrong, or to purify yourself after doing something wrong. So therefore, a huge amount of the Dharma goes. You don't have to come to that platform once you're in the spiritual world. So you don't have to grow up and go through all the different samskars. So all that drops off. So it leaves a small amount, basically the basic fundamental principles, the positive principles of the Grihastha Dharma. And those are left, you know, because that's the origin. And then all this other are, you know, Brahmacharya is how to become a good Grihastha. And then the Vanaprastha Sannyas is how to get away from the material concepts of Grihastha. So that becomes a central feature. So then, this is a type of service, a type of worship. That's dasya, is serving the Lord through the rules and regulations of the Varnashram system. So that is the prominent. But our main thrust is not that, it's sakyam and atmani vedanam. Sakya means friend of the Lord. So friend means you do what the other person likes. You know what they like. So the Lord likes that we preach. The Lord likes that we do all these activities. So therefore, then that is the main thrust. So because that, then our view of the Vaidhi is also from a different angle. For us, Vaidhi means following Raganuga, but since it's not spontaneous, we're doing Raganuga according to rules and regulations. Right? Does that make sense? It's this subtle difference. One is you're doing following the rules and regulations because that's supposed to be followed and that is your main object. The other is that you're supposed to be doing it without a spontaneous love, but that's not there. Therefore, the activities of spontaneous love is being done, but according to rules. We understand this difference? Yeah. So here, this discussion is specifically been asked about Varnashram, that the Brahmins are supposed to, the most essential point it mentions in Manu, is the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. It says a Brahmin, even he doesn't know any Vedas, doesn't know any ritual, if he's chanting the Gayatri Mantra, it's considered that he knows all the Vedas. And one who focuses just on chanting, that's his sadhana. The main thing is just chanting the Gayatri Mantra. He doesn't get involved in all the rituals and other things. He's considered the best. So, therefore, this question is being asked. So, of the Varnashram system, the whole idea is to get yourself to the Brahminical platform. Of the Brahmins, one who's chanting the Gayatri very earnestly is the best. So then why is it that you Vaishnavas seem to be following something else? So that's the question. So here it's a difference between Vaidhi, meaning Varnashram, as the complete system. And here he's explaining Raganuga, which is based on spontaneous attraction to the Lord, not being attached to the rules and regulations. So we should understand, otherwise then we may say we will get an overbalance of Raganuga. Some will say that, well, the Raganuga is there, this is the prominent thing. That's the thing. Vaidhi is understood, it's there for this purpose. So we're glorifying the most essential point. Right? So that's there. But when you have a society that whatever is the top, I have to be doing that. I have to want that, whether I'm qualified or not. I have to want it, right? You have somebody, you know, they're not wealthy, they have no facilities, no attraction, but they see some commercial, somebody wearing something or dressing something or eating something or smoking something or whatever. They have to do that. So they'll take some cheap imitation of it. And, you know, they can't buy the fashion clothes, so they go down into the, you know, the cheap place and get something that looks kind of like it. You know, it might even be the same cut, but it's not the same fabric, it's not sewn as nicely and everything like that. And then they see the poses that all the people that wear all these things do, and so they do the same thing. And they talk these words, and they talk these words. So in their mind, I've made it, right? This person in the commercial makes millions of dollars, you know, on all the things that, you know, is going on. He makes nothing, right? He just stands on a corner and maybe a few of his friends appreciate his new pants, right? But that's it. So nothing, he is not what he's thinking he is. But in his mind he's doing it, so he's not realistic. So when you have such a culture, therefore, then the natural thing is, you see, Srila Prabhupada therefore has to emphasize again and again following the rules and regulations. Otherwise, from day one, we'll immediately all be, you know, Raganuga Paramahamsa Babaji's. Right? You know, and sitting around and talking about, hey, check out the beads that I just got here. Whoa, you got those? Whoa, those are fun. I got to get some of those. Where'd you get them? You know, nothing to do with devotional service. It's just, you get the trappings of it, you know. You know, you got the biggest beads, you know, you carry a suitcase, you know, with you to keep your beads in, you know, and you're chanting, and then you're then everybody will go, wow, so advanced, like this. So, therefore, when you have that kind of person, of course it's nice, because now you're trying to get, you know, Tulsi beads rather than, you know, some kind of sports shoes or, you know, some kind of, but okay, that's nice, you've changed, but it's still the same mentality. I am this body. The body's mine, I am this body, right? So I just get things that connect with the body, you know, like that. You wear, what is it? You walk the walk, you talk the talk, you know, so it's like then you've made it. No, but it's that's not it. It's something else. That was what the Paramahamsa was mentioning to the sannyasi in the beginning. It's that desire is there, so that, no, you have to have the mentality. You actually have to be doing it. Then that dress then fits, you know. So therefore you'll see that Prabhupada will emphasize so much the Vaidhi. But the Vaidhi he's emphasizing is not another Vaidhi. It's actually just it's Raganuga that has been put into the form of rules. Right? Until such time as those things happen spontaneously. Right? The main emphasis Prabhupada gives is chanting, right? Chanting Hare Krishna and Nam Sankirtan, hearing the Bhagavatam, right, in the association of devotees, worshipping the deity. You know, he put so much emphasis, devotees coming to Mayapur, coming to the Dham, you know, doing service in the Dham. If you can't live here, then you remember, you serve by meditation. So, these are all emphasized. So we can see that, and this is Raganuga. But the difference is these are done spontaneously rather than because you're supposed to do them. Right now we chant our 16 rounds because we're supposed to chant them. Should we be chanting 16 rounds because we like to chant. And when we're doing it because we like to chant, then when we have time, we'll chant more. Right? 16 is minimum. But you have to like to chant, then you'll do it. Otherwise, yeah, I finish my rounds, now it's, you know, time to go sit in the courtyard and work out the latest this and that. You know, so many things. So So one has to be able to distinguish this. Otherwise, because one has to approach the previous acharyas through one's acharya. If one thinks, Bhaktivinoda knows saying this and Prabhupada's saying that, then better not to read this. Right? Because you haven't understood. Prabhupada's saying what they're saying, but he's saying what they're saying so we can understand. Right? He's emphasizing this part, but this is the third chapter. The thing about the clothes was in the first chapter. So one who has understood the clothes bit then can understand this bit. Right? So that's the point. So, but we'll forget that and go for this. So we have to be very, very careful. Any other? Yes.
When Bhagavan Thakur was mentioning about the scripture, the sun rising in the heart, can you explain the different levels of approaching?
Means by the Lord's here saying by his merciful glance, then the scriptures are created. So by his desire, then they're created. He inspires them in Brahma's heart. So he just gives the seed, and then Brahma speaks all these, because they're already there. It's not that Brahma has created the Veda. They're never created. Everything other than the Veda then is, we call that is, has been created. But it is created based on the Veda. But the Veda themselves are what? Aparusheya. They're never created. They're always there. So it's just a matter of they're revealed to Brahma. So by the Lord's mercy. So by the mercy, because they're born from the Lord's mercy, then if we, how do you say, if we follow them, we associate with the devotees, then these things will how do you say? Will rise in the heart, one will desire, one will think, yes, this is something I want to do, something I should follow. And then this way the rules, it says here, in this way the rules of piety are manifested. Because in other words, it has to be awoken, like that. The point is it's done so subtly that we always think we're in control. That's the whole thing. Is Krishna's running the whole place. You know, it's just like the parents may orchestrate so many things happening, but the child thinks that they're organizing the whole thing, they're doing everything. They don't understand the parents made all the arrangement. But the whole idea is because they're thinking like that, then that's the fun, right? Of course, the parents say, you know, you didn't do anything, I did it all. You know, then you know, where's the relationship? But even though the child doesn't understand, the parent still gets the pleasure of making the arrangements. So maybe we don't understand, but Krishna gets the pleasure of arranging for us. But then then there's more pleasure when the child grows up, understands that, and then is grateful for everything like that. So the scriptures, they're revealed in the heart. They rise in the heart by that good association, by practice. Then we're able to understand, then we have the desire to follow. So still, the whole thing, because the whole root is desire, then still, even that aspect is still an aspect of rag, attraction. Attachment, we want to. You know, so even the person who's strictly following all the vaidhi is because he wants to. It may be because the scriptures say because you get this result. They want that result, therefore they follow. So there's still that is that you can't get away from that aspect of the raganuga. But it's just that you have the desire, but then you just follow the vaidhi like that. The difference is in the pure form, you have the desire and the activity is performed is also has that flavor. You know, it's more prominent. Does that do anything?
I was hearing there are three different stages of
Krishna Shastra? It wasn't mentioned here. Yeah.
No, it just sparked off that memory. Oh. Just hearing this sparked that off.
No, I don't. I'm not aware. You read something somewhere?
No, actually, it's Vaishnava Guru was telling me.
What are these three things of approaching Shastra?
Tamasic, Rajasic, and Sattvic. So Tamasic is when you interpret the Shastra according to your own imagination, and Rajasic when you try to break it into technical descriptions and terms and different things like that, kind of intellectual approach. And then Sattvic is when that when this understanding becomes revealed in the heart and actually one realizes the meaning of the Shastra.
Hmm. Okay. Did all hear that? Yeah, because here is it, this is not talking about the different kinds of scriptures written for different classes. This is meaning that the though that may be involved, but when we approach the scriptures controlled by ignorance, then we will take them and then we will make up our own process. We will make up our own things. And the passion, then passion, then we see intelligence as being used, and then we just are interested simply in the technical aspects. But the technical aspects are so you can do something, right? You learn the technical aspects of any activity, it's so that you can do the activity. It's not just to know the technical aspects. So when one's in the approaches in the mode of passion, one just wants to know the technical aspects, only to know the technical aspects. That's gyan. Is this the, I probably mentioned this, the armchair speculators. They just love to sit and speculate over the technical points, just to speculate over the technical points. The goal of speculating over those is to speculate, just to have fun with it, to engage the intelligence. So that will not give happiness. And then goodness, then, is one will approach the scriptures, follow the scriptures according to what they're supposed to be followed. And then, by following that with that proper attitude, then one will get realization. The actual purport will be revealed. So that is actually only done in the association of devotees. Like that. Means there may be lower levels. You may be able to realize Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha from persons who are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So following the scriptures under those persons' directions, you can get those kind of understandings or realizations. Therefore, so many people have written so many scriptures on these things. But if you want to get the higher, then you have to associate with those. Following the scriptures in their association, then you get the transcendental result. So that's what you're looking for. Where is this from?
Ramanuja, he explains different levels of Pancharta Shastra. That's how he categorizes that.
Different
commentators and different writers on them. So that's how we categorize them.
And the writers on the Pancharatra.
The explanations on the.
So you have the Pancharatra, and the people are commenting on that.
Yeah,
and if they're commenting, how they comment, you categorize them according to these three. Okay.
We will also personally, as we are going through the lives in the devotional life, we will also tend to approach Shastra in that kind of way.
Yeah, that tendency will always be there. It means we'll hear something and make up our own idea. You know, you have to be really austere, so therefore we decide that we're going to eat one grain of rice every 10 days. But that's not what the scriptures are saying. Prabhupada says just following the four regular principles, that's austerity. Right? So you do that, that's being austere. So like this, we have to be very careful about making up our own. And then passion will get into the technical things just to get into the technical things. We figure we're advanced because we've memorized the words, we understand the technical points, we can get into the technical point. And then therefore we're very advanced. But that's only to get you to the next stage. You know the technical points, so therefore you keep yourself in the mode of goodness. Right? Krishna has explained the process in the first 12 chapters of the Gita. Coming to that essential points of devotional service. Then he goes on in the next chapters to explain the technicalities of how to keep yourself on that platform and from falling into the material world. Right? Before that, it was just the principles of why one should act for Krishna, have the understanding for Krishna, always remember Krishna. Like that. And, you know, do it to please Krishna. So then it culminates in that. And then these are the technical points. You know, so once you've understood that, then these technical points have some meaning. Otherwise, the tendency will be to be caught up in the technical points and forget the actual purpose, which is to develop love for Krishna. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we always have to be careful with this. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinanda ki, Jainita Gaura Prabhupada.